Hello and welcome to the reading of the Cedar Rapids Gazette for today. Today is Tuesday, June 21. I'm your reader, Kathleen. From the front page of the Gazette today, Eastern Iowans cope with higher gas prices. This story is by Sabine Martin. Filling a vehicle's gas tank, as just about everyone has noticed, takes more money than a year ago, prompting some Iowans to cut back on their driving and find other ways to save money. Unfortunately, gas is something that you need to get between work and home and the grocery store and home and other essential errands. There's not a lot you can do, said Adam Wright, 44, of Cedar Rapids, a security guard at the Cedar Rapids Museum of Art. In Iowa, the average cost for a gallon of regular gas is now $4.71, according to AAA. The nationwide average is $4.98. A year ago, the average in Iowa was $2.86 per gallon, according to AAA. Wright said it costs $58 to fill up his Jeep's gas tank. He said he's limiting his driving to his 6-minute commute to work, and that he only drives to Lindale and Westdale malls once or twice a week to take care of errands. His only long trips, he said, are for weddings or funerals. I was supposed to go out of town to Des Moines this weekend for a state political convention, and I canceled that due to the price of gas and other travel expenses, Wright said. Because of gas prices and other inflationary increases, Wright said he's also cut back on buying concert tickets and books and eating at restaurants. I've been a little more intentional about what I've been buying since prices have gone up, and I've been trying, for example, to space things out from paycheck to paycheck with wants and needs, he said. Sometimes we do need to, like our grandparents did during the Great Depression, make sacrifices and learn to do things with less. Some stores with gas stations like Costco, Walmart, and Hy-Vee are offering deals and rewards to lower the cost of gasoline for their customers. Costco in Coralville has some of the more affordable gas prices for its customers, with regular unleaded selling for $4.39 per gallon on Sunday. Bob Nelson, Costco's Senior Vice President of Finance and Investor Relations, said in a May 26 quarterly earnings call that rising gasoline prices positively impacted Costco's sales. I think every member that signs up has a different reason, but sure, absolutely, particularly given the extreme value proposition in gas right now, Nelson said. Retiree Tom Emmerich, age 78, of Muscatine, was filling up his vehicle at Casey's General Store in Iowa City after he'd had lunch on Sunday. He said he was using his Hy-Vee Fuel Saver Plus perks to save almost a dollar per gallon. Emmerich said he also is mindful of how he drives, accelerating slowly and following the speed limit to get as many miles per gallon as possible. This hasn't been hard for me, but probably for drivers behind me, because I drive 55. I got up to 46 miles per gallon on my last tank, Emmerich said. Gabe Kringlin, 30, of Iowa City, a University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics employee, said gas is a bigger bite out of his paycheck than before, but that it hasn't forced him to change his daily routines. I know a lot of other people are hurting who are potentially less financially fortunate than I am, Kringlin said, but thankfully it hasn't changed my behaviors. Also on the front page, this story by Marissa Payne. Cedar Rapids aims for another $50 million from feds for flood system. The city is asking for a $50 million boost to its construction of a $750 million permanent flood control system if proposed federal legislation is signed into law. Several steps and likely multiple years remain before any funding comes to fruition, but draft language in the 2022 Water Resources Development Act would unlock the funds for flood protection on the east side of the Cedar River, which would allow the city to accelerate work on other segments of the system. The Water Resources Development Act is renewed every several years and includes projects such as the city's flood control system. It's the first step in the appropriations process for any Army Corps of Engineers project, Public Works Director Bob Hammond said. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst's office was notified through the Environment and Public Works Committee, of which she is a member, that Cedar Rapids' proposed language will be included in the draft legislation. The language would reconcile the Army Corps' flood mitigation project with the flood control system master plan adopted by the Cedar Rapids City Council, said Rob Davis, City Flood Control Program Manager. That would change authorization for the Army Corps to participate in funding of the full East Side system, not just what was envisioned in 2014, Davis said. This is just the first step of the city's request to have the federal government participate financially in the full East Side system. After the devastating flood of 2008, the Army Corps in 2011 approved a design for a flood control system protecting the east bank of the river. The money was included in the 2014 Water Resources Development Act. The plan did not include flood protection on the Cedar River's west bank because of the Army Corps' cost-benefit threshold. The cost of adding west side flood control was greater than the value of the buildings it would protect, according to the formula. Under the 2014 plan, the north end of the flood control system ended at the Interstate 380 interchange with 7th and 8th Street Northeast. It did not go up to and around J Avenue, Davis said. But the city's plan for west side protection requires a height increase in the Army Corps' east side plan to protect against a flood the magnitude of the 2008 flood, Davis said. In addition, the city plan calls for another pump station at Cedar Lake, something that's not in the Army Corps' plan. Although Congress authorized construction of the city's east side flood control system in 2014, it wasn't until 2018, 10 years after the big flood, that federal lawmakers actually allocated the money. Similarly, it could take several years for Cedar Rapids to see additional federal dollars for flood control. If the Army Corps does pick up additional east side costs, Davis said, that would free up local dollars to work on other segments. The Army Corps has projects scheduled through 2026, so there is opportunity between now and then to have more federal funding added. He noted there could still be east side work remaining if and when those appropriations are made, such as rail crossings upstream at Quaker Oats, or downstream work at Cargill's corn processing plant. That's why it was important to get the proposed language in now, not right before the projects are done, Davis said. Cedar Rapids has a 10-year bonding plan to pay for a portion of the overall flood control system, supported by 22-cent annual increases in the city's property tax levy. Overall, the city's flood control system has secured $117 million from the Army Corps, $269 million in Iowa flood mitigation funds, $264 million in local funds, and $16 million in state and federal grants, according to the city's fiscal 2021 report for the budget year that ended June 30th. That $666 million doesn't include the $10.2 million the city in October allocated to Westside flood control from its federal American Rescue Plan Act pandemic funds. The city also continues to seek additional money to help pay for the work. For instance, it has applied for a $22 million federal RAISE grant to rebuild the 8th Avenue Bridge. The more federal funds we can get into the system, that just accelerates the entire system, Davis said. Turning now to page 2 on the Iowa Today page, Iowa University students call out lawmakers over tuition increase. This by Vanessa Miller. Student leaders from Iowa's public universities didn't expressly ask the State Board of Regents not to raise tuition in the fall, but they did call for help from lawmakers Monday during the board's first reading of a proposed 4.25% tuition hike for the coming year. What is it going to take for legislators to invest back into the public universities of Iowa? Leila Masinovic, president of the University of Northern Iowa Student Government, asked during the board's first reading of the proposed 2022-23 tuition and fees. It is not just our education we're asking you to assist in funding, she said during the virtual meeting. We are asking you to invest into the leaders of the communities that will take care of you when the time comes. The proposal scheduled for final approval July 27 would raise base tuition rates for in-state students at all three Iowa's public universities by 4.25% at both the graduate and undergraduate level. The rate schedule also raises tuition for out-of-state undergrad and grad students at Iowa State University and the University of Northern Iowa by 4.25%. The University of Iowa's rate hike proposal for out-of-state students syncs the dollar increase with in-state students instead of the percentage. That means all UI undergrads, regardless of residency, will see a $355 base tuition increase, amounting to a 1.2% bump for out-of-state students. All UI graduate students will see tuition increase by $443, or 1.5%, for non-residents. In justifying the proposed tuition hike, the Regents cited the state's lower-than-requested appropriations for the upcoming budget year, which starts July 1. The board asked Iowa lawmakers for a $22.1 million increase, which would have brought the region's total state appropriations to $638.6 million. Instead, lawmakers approved a $6.2 million increase, including $5.5 million for general education funds. That was far short of the region's $15 million ask, but more than last year, when the state granted the board no additional appropriations after cutting support by $8 million during the pandemic. Where Iowa State appropriations in 1981 accounted for more than 77% of general university education funding and tuition made up 21% of the pot, state funding today accounts for 34%, while tuition makes up nearly 60%, according to Regent documents. Student leaders on Monday referenced state funding declines when decrying the pressure Regents face to raise tuition to maintain academic and research quality. The amount of money that you can expect for next year is roughly $8 million less than was appropriated in 2009. Riley Post, vice president of the UI Graduate and Professional Student Government, said, "It's actually less than the amount of money that was appropriated in 1999, which is before many of the people on this call were even born." Factoring in inflation, he calculated today's state appropriations represent a nearly 45% drop in the amount of buying power. At the same time, he said, tuition has increased 41%, so we're really taking the responsibility of funding these institutions away from the state and moving them onto the backs of students, he said. All the students who spoke Monday turned their appeals to the legislature, including Rachel Sorensen, vice president of the Iowa State Grad and Professional Student Senate. In arguing against automatic annual tuition hikes, she reported graduate students are struggling to make ends meet. "Graduate students and professional students, we don't make much to live on," said Sorensen, a graduate assistant in the Department of Ecology, Evolution, and Organismal Biology. "By increasing tuition or increasing fees, we're struggling to get by. Myself, I'm homeless this summer. Plus," she said, "the amount that I've been paid is not enough to actually be able to pay tuition." In addition to base tuition hikes, the universities want steeper increases for some costlier programs, like a 5.7% tuition and fees increase for UI undergraduate in-state nursing students, and a 13% tuition and fees hike for ISU undergraduate resident engineering sophomores. All three campuses are upping some mandatory fees, which every student must pay for things such as campus-wide technology and health costs, recreational expenses, and other student services. UI officials, for example, want to prorate student health and mental health fees to all students, including those enrolled part-time, like it does for other mandatory fees. The UI also aims to increase the mental health fee by $1 for, quote, higher personnel costs and enhanced suicide prevention programs for students, faculty, and staff, end quote. Iowa State is suggesting a $145 increase in mandatory fees next year, while the UI is proposing a $56 jump, and UNI is asking students to pay $27 more in fees. Regents did not ask any questions of the students who addressed them during the first reading of their tuition proposal on Monday. The board did formally approve allocation of the state appropriations increase, giving each campus a 1.1% increase in the next budget year. In this story on the Iowa Today page, a Mason City man gets prison for a role in a deadly shooting. A Mason City man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for his role in a February shooting that killed one man and left another with disabling injuries. Daniel Martez Juden, the fourth, age 24, was sentenced after pleading guilty Friday to a count of intimidation with a weapon in Blackhawk County District Court. Online records show Juden was one of two people charged in the February 6th shootout between two groups in Cedar Falls that killed Arthur Craig Lang III, age 19, of Clear Lake, and left another man with a partially severed spine. Police said Juden was in a vehicle with Lang and Brandon Javon Mitchell, age 26, of Mason City, when they began arguing with pedestrians, and the two groups began shooting at each other. Lang was killed and one pedestrian critically injured. Police say Juden was one of those who fired a gun but was returning fire from the other group. Mitchell has pleaded not guilty to attempted murder and two weapons counts in the shootout of the man injured. No one has been arrested for the shot that killed Lang. This Iowa Today story is by Tom Barton. Sammy Sheets is poised to make history. A Cedar Rapids Democrat is poised to become the first Arab American lawmaker for the Iowa legislature. Sammy Sheets, a 26-year-old community organizer whose mother immigrated to Cedar Rapids from Damascus, Syria, is running unopposed for the Iowa House District 78 seat. The newly redrawn district has been represented by Democrat Representative Liz Bennett, who is running for an open Senate seat. If elected, Sheets said he hopes to counter what he sees as sharp and harmful anti-migrant rhetoric from Iowa Republicans. He referenced a state law that mandates all official political documents from the state be written in English, with the exception of voting materials in two counties, and he cited Governor Kim Reynolds' rejection last year of a federal request to accept unaccompanied migrant children into the state, saying the need to find homes for them is the president's problem. Right now, there are small towns across the state of Iowa that are being revitalized by Latin American or Mexican American immigration, Sheets said. And to have that unwelcoming rhetoric from the Iowa GOP, I think, is going to be really, really problematic when the census projects by 2050, Iowa's going to be a quarter Latino. Sheets said rural Iowa's future rests on immigrants and refugees to ensure an adequate labor supply to replace those aging out of the workplace. Republican Party of Iowa Communications Director Colin Crompton responded, saying, "Iowans overwhelmingly disapprove of Joe Biden's open border policies, which," she said, "have resulted in thousands of pounds of deadly fentanyl flowing across our border." Born and raised in Cedar Rapids, Sheets, the son of an immigrant teacher and a lawyer, said he looks forward to working to promote increased diversity and inclusion in state politics. The 78th district has a diverse electorate that includes large Latino, Arab American, and African American communities. The district also has among the lowest voter turnout rates in the state, according to Sheets. "There are tons of Democrats that just have not been voting, and I think part of that is us not investing the resources and the time in connecting and turning out voters of color and immigrant communities," said Sheets, who has worked the past 10 years on political campaigns for Democratic candidates at the state and federal levels. Sheets worked on Bernie Sanders' 2020 presidential campaign, helped establish satellite caucuses to encourage first-time and reluctant voters to participate. Sheets said he hopes to push for more political integration of minority groups. Turning now to the Insight page, The editorial today is a guest column by Jesse Thomig, and the title, Elevating Downtown to the Next Level. The Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance launched a program dubbed Race for the Space earlier this spring. It's a business competition designed to support a startup, secondary location, or just about anything in between that has the legitimate opportunity to become a staple of downtown Cedar Rapids for several years to come. The winner will receive $20,000 that can cover rent costs for up to a year, along with a handful of other valuable benefits. The exposure and limelight alone should propel them toward success. We're well over 2 years into the time of Corona. The pandemic continues to impact our lives at every turn. While supporting locally owned business is core to the mission of the Economic Alliance, so is championing and promoting the growth and success of our community's core districts. 14 years ago, downtown Cedar Rapids and surrounding areas endured one of the costliest national disasters in our country's history. Due to the efforts of elected officials, local leaders, and so much of our citizenry, this place came back in a big way. This crisis, however, has impacted all 8 billion of us on this planet. Downtowns and core districts around the world are trying to figure out exactly what the new normal is going to be once we're fully on the other side of the pandemic. So many millions continue to work remotely, impacting small and locally owned businesses who once depended so heavily on the consistent foot traffic that made up the Monday to Friday workforce. While this deadline time has taken so much from so many, it did offer a unique opportunity for millions. For months, seemingly on end, through 2020 and much of 2021, people were afforded time in a way they hadn't been experienced by really anyone living, time to think and perhaps reimagine their careers. The workforce crisis is in large part a direct corollary to this set of circumstances. Hundreds of thousands of people didn't want to return to the jobs they had before. They wanted to do something that aligned with their core values and priorities. They wanted to take control of their lives and careers in a way that provided meaning and substance rather than just the rat race of getting by each and every day. And the effect of this mindset across such a large swath of the populace will be an explosion in entrepreneurship in the years to come. The underlining aim of Race for the Space is to tap into this sentiment and cultural shift. While recovery from this crisis is much different from the efforts that went into the post-flood recovery years, it's something every district, neighborhood, community, and city around the globe are charged with tackling. While much of the workforce remains in limbo between hybrid work models and extended work-from-home policies, there are other trends that favor the core districts in downtown of Cedar Rapids. First, downtown and urban housing has never been more popular. That certainly makes sense with the largest generation in the history of our country on the cusp of retirement and empty nest age. Downtown Cedar Rapids has several large-scale housing developments that are underway or are a few short weeks from commencing. Secondly, outdoor water and trail recreation has some of the fastest growing activities in the country. With Connect CR no longer being a dream or a fundraiser, but a project that is beginning to take shape at Cedar Lake, and the soon-to-be-constructed pedestrian bridge in Nubo and Czech Village, this public-private partnership is exactly what our core districts need to be elevated to the next level. While much of the consistent energy and foot traffic during the standard work week remains down compared with pre-pandemic levels, there is little doubt that the nightlife has bounced back. Downtown Cedar Rapids has 4 outstanding event venues for live performances that are back and running at full capacity, while also having a unique blend of locally owned restaurants throughout the district that rival any city our size in the Midwest. There are several other specific developments that can be enumerated here, but the bottom line is this. Cities are either rising or falling in America. Due to the work and foresight of so many civic, business, and philanthropic leaders and doers, Cedar Rapids is mostly assured heading in the upward and positive direction. We hope to garner several strong submissions for Race for the Space and work with the winner to establish themselves and be a long-term success story. Any prospective entrepreneur or existing business should consider making downtown Cedar Rapids their new home due to this program. Uncertainty is the most precarious variable of any business owner. It's no secret that we're still living through tumultuous, challenging, and what can be overwhelming times. The benefits of winning this competition should alleviate much and more of that from the $20,000 vouchers to build out new design support from a top local architecture firm, a business support class from one of downtown's newest and most successful local service providers, and a year's membership to the Economic Alliance. This kind of support, plus the spotlight the winner will reap, will make the juice worth the squeeze. To apply for the Race for Space, go to raceforspacecr.org and hit Apply Now. Applications close June 30th. And that's submitted by Jesse Thoming, Executive Director of the Cedar Rapids Downtown District. We have two community letters today. First, Devil is in the details with compromises on guns. Are you aware of a pig in a poke? Lots of gun compromises are pigs in a poke, in parentheses, common sense gun laws, whatever they may be. But you expect our senators to support an unknown compromise of what? Red flag sounds good, but who and how many does it take to confiscate someone's gun? What is the procedure and timeline for returning the gun? The devil is in the details. Only the January 6th rioters, pro-abortion groups, and Democrats think their choices should be determined by mob rule, but most of us still believe we are a democracy and governed by the Constitution and elections. Iowa Senators Chuck Grassley and Joni Ernst are not beholden to non-Iowans, but to the people who elected them, currently majority Iowa Republicans. That's signed today by Palmer Holden in Iowa City. And the second letter, it's time to take away Senator Chuck Grassley's keys. Often elderly men can't recognize when it's time to give up driving, and it is up to relatives to take the keys away from Grandpa. This November, voters have the choice to take away Chuck Grassley's keys to the Senate cloakroom and give them to Admiral Mike Franken. Chuck Grassley was first elected to public office in 1959. He still is on the public payroll after 63 years. Polls say most people want term limits enacted into law, but while they're waiting, they might consider just using their vote. Grassley is president pro tempore emeritus of the U.S. Senate, the longest serving member of his party at 41 years in the Senate. The previous Republican pro tem was Orrin Hatch of Utah. He just died at age 88 after 42 years in the Senate, which made him the longest-serving Republican senator in history. Apparently, it is Grassley's goal to beat Hatch's record because he's seeking another six-year term as U.S. Senator. If he can complete his term of office, he will be 95 years old, but actuarial science odds are not in his favor. In the words of Oliver Cromwell to the Rump Parliament in 1653, quote, "You have sat too long for any good you have been doing. Depart, I say, and let us have done with you," end quote. And that is signed by David Mansheim from Parkersburg. You are listening to the reading of the Cedar Rapids Gazette for today, Tuesday, June 9, on Iris. And now we turn to today's obituary page. In the short notices, start with Cedar Rapids. Catherine W. Brand, age 92, died Sunday, June 19th, Van Steenhuis Tien Funeral Home in Vinton is assisting Catherine's family. Also in Cedar Rapids, Timothy Paul O'Dean, age 49, died Sunday, June 19th, Murdoch Linwood Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Cedar Rapids. In Guttenberg, Sue Simone Ludwig Villa, age 50, died Sunday, June 19th. Tuke Allen Funeral Home, Guttenberg, is in charge. In Luana, Norman Eugene Mueller, age 92, died Thursday, June 16th. Leonard Grau Funeral Home and Cremation Service, Monona. From North English, Maxine Marie Huber, age 75, died Sunday, June 19th. Powell Funeral Home, North English, is in charge. In North Liberty, Jerome I. Ritt, age 74, died Saturday, June 18th. Lansing Funeral and Cremation Service is assisting the family. Also in North Liberty, William, known as Bill J. Ruth, age 62, died Saturday, June 18th, at the University of Iowa Hospital. Beatty Petersheim Funeral Home is assisting the family. In Strawberry Point, Sharon Lim Baumgartner, age 80, died Sunday, June 19th. Leonard Muller Funeral Home and Crematory of Strawberry Point is in charge of arrangements. And our last short notice from Tama, Stanley Eugene Graff, age 62, died Sunday, June 19th. Cruz Phillips Funeral Home from Tama, Toledo is in charge. Turning now to the regular notices, first from Monticello, Audrey Lambert, age 75, died early Sunday morning, June 19th, at the Monticello Nursing and Rehab Center, with her family gathered by her side after a battle with dementia. Friends may call from 4 until 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Getch Funeral Home in Monticello, where a parish vigil service will start at 4 p.m. Visitation will continue on Wednesday morning at the Sacred Heart Catholic Church from 10 until 11 a.m., with a Mass of Christian burial at 11 a.m. Interment will be at the Sacred Heart Cemetery. Father Paul Baldwin will officiate at the services. You can visit GetchOnline.com to share a thought or memory. From Tipton, Eldon, known as Eddie Charles Dietz, age 82, died on the morning of Sunday, June 19th, at Cedar Manor Nursing Home in Tipton. On Friday, June 24, Fry Funeral Home will host a visitation from 10 to 11 a.m., and the funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Ed will be laid to rest at the Shawver Cemetery at 11:45. After graveside services, friends and family are invited to a luncheon at noon. The luncheon location will be announced when it has been determined. Due to the expected high temperature, family encourages you to dress comfortably. Cards and memorials may be addressed to Joanne Dietz, 1200 Mulberry Street in Tipton, and memorials forwarded to either Cedar Manor Nursing Home or Friends of the Animals. Fry Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. From Mount Vernon, Betty Walton, age 90, formerly of Mount Vernon, now of Marion, passed away Monday, June 20th at the Views of Marion. Funeral services is at 11 a.m. on Friday, June 24, at Stuart Baxter Funeral and Memorial Service in Mount Vernon. Visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service. Burial at Mount Vernon Memorial Cemetery in Mount Vernon. A luncheon will be back at the funeral home following the burial. Stuart Baxter is in charge of arrangements. In Marion, Debbie Fawcett, age 64, passed away Saturday, June 18th at Unity Point St. Luke's Hospital in Cedar Rapids. Family will greet friends and family from 2 to 4 p.m. on Monday, June 27, at Murdoch Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Marion. A funeral service will follow at 4 p.m. at the funeral home, officiated by the Reverend Chopper Brown. Murdoch Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. In Cedar Rapids, Donald William Bokenstedt, age 79, died Friday, June 17th at Unity Point St. Luke's Hospital from complications of Lewy body dementia. A visitation will be held from 1 to 3 p.m. Saturday at TN Funeral Home. Donnie is survived by his sisters and several others are named. He's preceded in death by parents and grandparents. Memorials may be directed to the family. Online condolences left at tnfuneralhome.com. From Monticello, Doris, known as Dory May Hussman, 95, of Scotch Grove, Iowa, passed away Saturday, June 18th, at the Monticello Nursing and Rehab Center of complications of a stroke. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, June 24, at St. John's Lutheran Church, rural Monticello, with Pastor Caleb Schwee officiating. You may access the live service by going to GetchOnline.com. Interment will be at the Oakwood Cemetery in Monticello. Dessert and coffee will be served following the interment. From Monticello, Eileen, known as Leanie Thompson, age 90, passed away on Thursday, June 16th at her home. A funeral mass will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, June 28th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Central City. The Reverend Nick March will officiate. You may visit MurdochFuneralHome.com to view a full obituary and share a memory. From Anamosa, Danette R. Porter, age 73, passed away Sunday, June 19th. A memorial service will be held Thursday, June 23 at 10 a.m. at the Cedar Memorial Park Chapel of Memories. Online condolences may be directed to the family at cedarmemorial.com. From Cedar Rapids, Lorraine Sheely, age 90, died Saturday, June 18th, in hospice care. A visitation will be held at Cedar Memorial Park Funeral Home Friday, June 24, from 4 to 7. The funeral mass will take place at St. Matthew's Catholic Church on Saturday, June 25th at 10:30 a.m. A visitation will begin at 9:30 and go until service time. Private burial will take place at St. Albert's Cemetery in Lamont, Iowa. To see a full obituary, visit cedarmemorial.com. From Cedar Rapids, Lakin Rose Haggerty, age 10, passed away peacefully with her beloved family by her side after a sudden and brief but courageous battle with leukemia on Saturday, June 18th at the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Services are at 10:30 a.m. Friday at the Tien Home by Penny Ackerman. Friends may visit with the family on Thursday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Tien Funeral Home. Friends are encouraged to wear bright colors to the visitation and funeral service to celebrate Lakin's colorful and vibrant spirit. Tien Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. From Marion, Gerald, known as Jerry Clark Beisman, age 86, passed away on Sunday, February 6th at the Dennis and Donna Oldorf Hospice House of Mercy in Hiawatha. Interment will be held at 1 p.m. Friday, June 24, at Mount Calvary Cemetery in Cedar Rapids. A celebration of Jerry's life will follow from 5 to 9 p.m. Friday, June 24, at Lowe Park in Marion. Murdoch Funeral Home and Cremation Service in Marion is assisting the family. In Anamosa, Orville, known as Bruce Ellis, age 80, departed to be with his Lord and Savior and entered his heavenly home Saturday, June 18. Celebration of life will be held in his memory at a later time to be determined by the family. Online condolences may be left at iowacremation.com. From Mount Vernon, Randy, known as Rudy Osborne, age 63, passed away at home surrounded by family Saturday, June 18th, of esophageal cancer. Celebration of life is at 4 p.m. Saturday, June 25, at the Stuart Baxter Funeral and Memorial Service in Mount Vernon. Celebrant Dawn Stevens will officiate. Visitation and viewing is 2 to 4 p.m. prior to the service at the funeral home. Interment will take place at the Lisbon Cemetery at 10:30 a.m. Monday, June 27th. Stuart Baxter Funeral and Memorial Service, Mount Vernon, is caring for Randy and his family. Family and friends are invited to Whitey's on Highway 30, Lisbon, for a reception following the service. From Vinton, Richard, known as Dick C. Bridge, age 92, died June 18 at Unity Point, St. Luke's. Gravesite services for Dick and his beloved poodle, Princess, will be conducted at 3 p.m. Friday, June 24, at Evergreen Cemetery in Vinton, with military rites conducted by the George C. Lukey American Legion Post 57 and the Patriot Guard Riders. Following the graveside service, a celebration of Dick's life and luncheon will be held at the American Legion Post in Vinton from 4 to 7 p.m. From Cedar Rapids, Robert, known as Bob Leo Turkle, passed away on June 20th at West Ridge Care Center in Cedar Rapids. Memorial gathering will be 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday, June 25, with military honors at 3:30 at the Legacy Center at Murdoch Linwood in Cedar Rapids. burial will be at the Linwood Cemetery at a later date. From Vinton, Shirley Ann, known as Lee Corbett, age 93, of Grundy Center, formerly of Vinton, passed away June 20. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, June 23, at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Vinton, with the Reverend Phil Borlaski officiating. Interment will be held at Oak Hill Cemetery in Coralville. Visitation will be held from 9 a.m. until service time Thursday at the church. A memorial fund has been established. Phillips Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. From Cedar Rapids, Susan K. Hubble, age 69, passed away at Unity Point, St. Luke's, on Saturday, June 18, surrounded by her family. A visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 23, at the Cedar Memorial Park Funeral Home. A graveside service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, June 24, at the St. Francis of Assisi Cemetery in Fayette, with the certified celebrant Randy Walton officiating. A reception to follow at the Big Rock Country Club in Fayette. Memorial contributions may be made in her name to St. Luke's Hospice. Cedar Memorial is in charge of arrangements. From Iowa City, Vicki Solersch passed away on Monday morning, February 22nd, with her beloved daughter Libby by her side. A memorial service will be held at 9 a.m. Friday, June 24th, at the Kirkwood Room at Governor's Ridge, 515 Kirkwood Avenue, Iowa City. Immediately following the service, guests will gather over coffee and refreshments. Burial will be at the Agudas Akeem Cemetery on Linder Road in Iowa City. In lieu of flowers, please donate to an organization whose cause you believe in. A few of her favorites are Planned Parenthood, the Emma Goldman Clinic, Iowa City Shelter House, Iowa Public TV, the Iowa City Senior Center, and the ACLU. Online condolences can be left at lansingfuneral.com. And our final obituary from Cedar Rapids, Marguerite Young of Cedar Rapids, passed away Monday, June 13th. She was born in Griswold, Iowa. Marguerite passed away not because she wanted to, but because her little heart couldn't keep up any longer, and it's no wonder. She lived 92 full years, never stopping, never asking permission, never thinking she couldn't. A memorial gathering will be held at a later date. Until then, please honor Marguerite by donating in her name to the Community Health Free Clinic. CommunityHealthFreeClinic.org/donate. Turning now to the sports page. In high school baseball, North Lynn reaches 20 wins fast. This story is by K.J. Pilcher. The North Lynn continues its strong season and remained unbeaten in the Tri-Rivers Conference with a doubleheader sweep of Lisbon at home on Thursday. The Lynx took the opening game 8-5 and followed with an 8-2 victory. The Lynx improved to 20-2 overall, 8-0 in the TRC, leading Maquoketa Valley by 2 games in the West Division. Lisbon is 12-5 overall and 5-1 in the TRC, sitting atop the East Division. Cedar Rapids Washington earned a Mississippi Valley Conference doubleheader, split with 3A fifth-ranked Cedar Rapids Xavier on Friday. Both teams scored 1 in the 7th to force extra innings, and the Warriors posted 4 in the 8th for a 12-8 victory. Highland has received votes in the latest IHSBCA rankings, but ranks among the 1A leaders in win percentage with a 15-1 mark this season. The Huskies added 4 wins last week, giving them 10 straight, entering last night's home game against number 9, Mediapolis. Highland's lone loss came to Mediapolis on May 31st. The Bulldogs won 3-0, scattering 5 hits and allowing 8 total base runners. Waukon notched a victory over a Northeast Iowa Conference foe that opened the season in the Class 3A rankings. The Indians beat Waverly Shellrock 6-5 on Friday at Waverly, splitting a doubleheader. And upcoming today, Waverly Shellrock is at Decorah. First place in the NEIC is up for grabs. The host Vikings hold a 1-game lead in the standings, so a Gohawk sweep puts them in first. Decorah entered the week with four straight wins. The teams are almost statistically the same. Both teams average exactly 8 runs per game, but the Vikings allow 4.9 runs a game, 0.1 better than the Gohawks. On Wednesday, Cascade is at Monticello. They are the top two teams in the River Valley Conference North Division. The Cougars are ranked third, while the Panthers received votes. Monticello has won 4 of its last 5 games and 3 of the last 4 against the Cougars. Turning now to the Business 380 page, this local story, Transamerica to cut 40 more jobs in Cedar Rapids. Insurance and investment services company Transamerica filed for a Worker Adjustment and Retraining Notification Act, or WARN, with Iowa Workforce Development, saying it will eliminate 40 positions as of August 15. The company began paring its Cedar Rapids employee count in 2018 when it outsourced parts of its business to India-based Tata Consultancy Services. At that time, it shifted 882 jobs to Tata. In November 2020, Transamerica cut the positions of 53 Cedar Rapids employees. Transamerica, with offices on C Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, is a subsidiary of Aegon, a Netherlands-based life insurance company headquartered in the Netherlands. It placed the site of its former Edgewood Road and 42nd Street Northeast offices on a 2-day auction through California-based 10X beginning Monday. The starting bid was set at $1.75 million. The company opted for an auction after being unable to find a buyer since March of 2021. Officials for Transamerica did not respond for comment on the latest WARN filing or how many employees it has in Cedar Rapids. Turning now to the community page in Eastern Iowa Briefs, here are some things to do in the area. In Decorah, visit Vesterheim's folk art exhibit during July. In Cedar Rapids, monthly food box giveaway is scheduled for Sunday, and that takes place on Sunday at 11 to 2 at Jefferson High School. This is a first-come, first-serve event, and no registration is required. Enter the Jefferson High School campus from 18th Street Southwest. Together We Achieve also is looking for volunteers to help with the food box packing and giveaway. For more information, visit togetherweachieve.org. The Cedar Rapids Freedom Festival Parade will be televised live through Iowa on Mediacom's MC22 channel, 10 a.m. Saturday. The Freedom Festival Parade will be held in downtown Cedar Rapids. Media personalities Justin Roberts and Mickey Slick will be MCs. Stars and Stripes Forever is this year's parade theme. Awards will be given for the following categories: Judge's Choice, Most Patriotic, Originality, Best Use of Theme, Best Performance and Use of Music, and Best Original Float. The awards ceremony will be at Green Square immediately after the parade. Subscribers in Iowa can watch live coverage of the parade on MC22 channel or live stream at mc22.net. And back to that Vesterheim story. What's happening today in the world of Norwegian-inspired folk art? Find out at the National Norwegian-American Folk Art Exhibit, a judged show at Vesterheim, the National Norwegian-American Museum and Folk Art School. That's from July 2 to 30th. This biannual exhibit celebrates folk art by encouraging and inspiring emerging and established artists to develop their craft. It features woodworking, knife making, metalwork, rosemaling, and weaving, and includes stories from the artists about their pieces. That's at Vesterheim, which is open daily from 9 to 5 at 523 Water Street in Decorah. Admission is $5 to $12. The second Saturday of the month, July 9, it's free, as will be July 28, the opening day of Nordic Fest. Here is some free summer fun news, this by Diana Nolan. With gas prices and inflation on parallel paths climbing higher, the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance has compiled a mountain of ideas for free fun in the summer sun right in your own backyard. Our area has so much fun to offer this summer for free. Even we are a bit surprised of how long this list is, said Doug Newman, Executive Director of the Economic Alliance. We hope people will see all the local opportunities for recreation, music, and events. Consider spending some of their free time at our free attractions. While it's not an all-inclusive list, you'll find plenty of opportunities for free and low-cost entertainment in the Cedar Rapids metro area. And while I can't include everything here in the time allotted, here are some highlights. In the fitness area, climb Mount Trashmore. Free check-in is free, and check-in's required at a kiosk outside the rec building. And then there's also Explore Our Trails. Bike, run, or walk, there's a downloadable trail map at lynncountytrails.org/trails. The Indian Creek Nature Center is open most days. That's at 5300 Otis Road Southeast. You can see those opportunities at indiancreeknaturecenter.org. Meet Me at the Market is 5:30 p.m. every Thursday through August at the Nubo City Market. Practice in the Prairie is free outdoor yoga and Pilates classes, 6 to 7 p.m. Tuesdays through September. Amazing space, patio, and lawn at the Indian Creek Nature Center. The Riverside Skate Park at 1225 C Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. This site is moving for flood control efforts in the area and will close after Labor Day. Until then, practice skateboarding, inline skating, and biking over steel obstacles and ramps. The hours there are 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunrise Yoga, Saturdays through August at Klopfenstein Amphitheater in Lowell Park. And also in the music category, the Cedar Rapids Municipal Band Concerts through August 7 are taking place at various dates and locations. You can see those at crmuniband.org. Jazz Under the Stars, 6:30 p.m. Thursdays in August at the Knoll Ridge Park. Marion Big Band, Swingin' at Sunset, 7 p.m. Thursdays in July at Marion Square Park. And some indoor getaways. The Cedar Rapids Museum of Art, of course, has free summer admission July 1 to September 4 and has a variety of programs. The Grant Wood Studio, the History Center, the National Czech and Slovak Museum also are included in the list with openings and availability. And the Cedar Rapids Downtown Farmers Market takes place 7:30 a.m. to noon, July 2 and 16, August 6 and 20. Cedar Rapids Market After Dark is 6:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. in downtown Cedar Rapids. Also, other markets are the Hiawatha Farmers Market, the Uptown Market, and CRBT Movies on the Riverbank takes place 7 p.m. July 16th, August 13th at McGrath Amphitheater. The Cedar Rapids Freedom Festival has many free and low-cost events, and that takes place through July 4. Create your own tour to check out all the colorful murals downtown in the Nubo District, Czech Village, and surrounding areas, and you can see those at crmurals.org. Finishing up with the weather, please stay hydrated and stay cool today. We're looking for a high of 97 in Cedar Rapids, 98 in Iowa City. Our normal is 81 for a high. We set a record of 100 in Cedar Rapids in 1988. The record low there was 44 in 1992. Sunset tonight is 8:46, sunrise tomorrow at 5:32, 15 hours and 15 minutes of daylight. I believe today is the longest day of the year. That does it for the reading of the Cedar Rapids Gazette for today, Tuesday, June 11. I've been your reader, Kathleen. You can access today's reading online at iowaradioreading.org. Thank you for listening and have a great, safe day.
I'm getting older. Do I need to worry about falling?
Yes, you do. Every year, 1 in 4 people 65 and older will experience a fall, and many result in serious injury. The majority of falls happen at home, so take a look around. Replace bulbs and add lighting to help you see obstacles. Remove things that can make you trip. Fix uneven steps and floors, and install handrails in bathrooms and on stairs. Consider balance or strength training exercises, which can help with agility. Get your eyes and hearing checked regularly. Changes in your hearing can affect your balance. To learn more, please talk to your doctor about steps you can take to help prevent a fall. You can also visit aarpfoundation.org or medicaremadeclear.com/falls. This message was brought to you by UnitedHealthcare and AARP Foundation.